Well, good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? I am truly honored to be up here in this position. For those that don't know me, my name is Dominic. My wonderful wife, Nicole, is currently serving in Bridge. We oversee that ministry as of right now. And we're just so blessed to be here. We're just so thankful that we could be here today. For if you don't know my story, I served for the past 5 years or so on staff as an assistant pastor in a church in this area, and it was just truly a blessing. We are so thankful for the people that were involved in the ministry there and the people who came to as part of the church. There's so many memories that we have, and now we've transitioned here in a new season and a new chapter for the both of us. For myself, I work currently in town, actually, in the logistics center. I work at Matrix Logistics. And then my wife works at St. Lawrence College. And so we've really made Cornwall our home. We reside in Ingleside, and it's definitely a place that we've learned to love, a place that we've learned to just realize the call that God has on our lives for this region still. And we just believe what's happening here in Harvest. We are so thankful for Pastor Roy and Chris. I don't think you realize how special these people are. I've grown up in church my whole life. I was a pastor's kid growing up, and I've seen church, different types of churches throughout the years, and you know, there's something special here. There's something special when you can come into a place that has many different generations of people that feel like they belong together. That's really important. That's really important to have a church that is church family that's together. And that really just comes down to the leadership that's in place. That has, I'm sure, spent many years based on the stories that I've heard through the last year that Nicole and I have been here. I've heard so many stories of how we've gone through ups and downs as a church together, and really Pastor Roy and Chris have led through that. So can we please just give it up for the leadership of the house? I think we can do better than what we did before, right? I'm so thankful. We're blessed here. And we're thankful to call this home. We really are. So I get the opportunity this morning to really start off the Beatitudes. It's really going to be a great series. It's going to be a challenging series. It's going to really lift you up, and it's also going to tear you down so that you can be rebuilt. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That's a really good thing. And if you have your Bible, you can kind of mark down Matthew chapter 5 for the next while, because that's where we're landing. That's what we're looking at for the points of our verses. We are looking at this Matthew chapter 5. And Pastor Roy, the last 2 weeks, has kind of covered off this idea of the tree and that there's the roots. And we really have to focus on the roots first. So that first week, the main thought was the tree of the knowledge of God, of knowledge of good and evil, says you have to earn God's approval. That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Versus the tree of life says Jesus has already done everything for us. And living in that promise and that truth carries our whole life. And if we choose that promise, we don't have to live without peace in our lives. Week two, the main thought, God didn't save us to get to heaven. God saved us to bring heaven to earth. And I kind of want to touch on that a little bit today. We will kind of touch on that thought, because that's such a solid thought. There's so much more to it than just what Jesus really did on earth in his time. Because there's promises that he made that says we will do greater things than him. And we have to hold to that. We can't just decide that, like, okay, that was then and this is a different time. I don't know if you know, Dominic, but this isn't the same deal. Jesus was doing crazy things that people saw and followed. But I want to challenge you to think that maybe it's because we don't have our eyes opened enough to what God is doing right now. That really the truth is God is working in Cornwall without us all realizing it. And so I've got some stories, because I work in a place where there's a lot of things that happen with people. People are people. We all know that we make mistakes, but we also all know that there are challenges that arise, and people begin to realize that there's really no peace without God. And so I'm going to share those with you. But before we go there, can we just pray together? Can we just take this moment now and just believe for what God has for our lives this morning? Dear God, thank you that we're here. Thank you that we can be together as a church family, and say that we belong. that we're here and we have an opportunity to hear what you have in store for us, that we believe for greater things are yet to come here at Harvest in Cornwall, that Harvest is really just a vessel being used to further your kingdom here on earth. We pray this in your name. Amen. So as we look at Matthew 5, really what we're looking at is just more than just the start of Jesus' ministry, but a kind of a focal point. This is a moment in his ministry where he talks a sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. For those that know their Bible, it's this pinnacle point where Jesus actually kind of lays out a lot of truth. So if you ever want a sermon or a moment of message that is in the Bible, it talks about many different things. He covers many different things. He covers anger. He covers lust. He covers giving. He covers all of these aspects of our lives that are really helpful and really reveal how we want to live our lives out as Christians, as followers of Christ, to be more like him. And so the first part of this is that Jesus and his disciples go on this mountaintop. And he kind of starts off, before he gets into the sermon, doing a little bit of interesting phrasing. He starts off with sharing these beatitudes, these characteristics, these things that we want to see in ourselves and that we need to have in ourselves, really, in our following of Christ in him. And so my message today is, blessed are the poor in spirit. So it says in Matthew 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, many Jewish people in that time who knew God would have followed the commandments, would have followed a lot of laws. And the reality is that the people who were considered the meek, the people who were considered the poor, the people who didn't have a lot were considered less than. And they were kind of shoved off to the side. And Jesus, in this first verse, starts off, the very first attitude that he talks about is for those people, which is so backwards. It's so upside down. And for the people that were on that mountaintop who are just listening, as he's got his disciples there, as he's got people who are listening, just like you're listening this morning, they're hearing him speak something that really is very left field. They can't really quite comprehend what he's trying to say, because it's hard for them to picture what it would be like to spend time with the poor, what it would be like for a leper or a diseased person to come into the church, somebody who they would deem unworthy. They couldn't imagine what it would be like. And he starts off, and I really think that this is, like, out of all the characteristics, you really need this one to get the rest. This is the pinnacle point right here. This topic, the idea that the poor in spirit are the ones that are going to have the kingdom of heaven. But Greek, the translation of the word poor, is really interesting, because we often think of poor as just not having very much, maybe not having enough money to pay the bills, maybe struggling with just having a house, getting into a house, or being able to have groceries on the table. And you might be in that circumstance this morning, but really what it is that poor, it really translates in this version of this verse, is you don't have anything. Which, I don't know about you, but that's really hard to imagine living in North America. Like, you can technically, even though it won't be yours, it'll be owned technically by the bank, you can technically take out a loan and get money and still have an option to buy food. We can turn on the tap, you can go to any store and request for a cup of water and you will receive a cup of water. Like, there's nothing that we don't really have access to in North America, in living in Canada especially. We've been given so many things. And the hard part is, for us, this verse is really hard for people who live in North America. Because to really have a full understanding, you kind of have to strip yourself of everything, or you have to go see someone else and experience what it's like on their context, on their side of what that means to live out a life like that. And I'm going to share a little bit of that this morning. But really, the truth is, less is more. Less is more. There's a few different versions I just kind of want to read through of the same verse that kind of show us different ways to see this verse. So The same verse, Matthew chapter 5, verses 3, the NLT version says, God blesses those who are poor and realizes their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 3, and the Gateway version is, blessed are those who recognize they are spiritually helpless. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. And then we have another version. Those people who know they have spiritual needs are happy because the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. This belonging. You know, and I really kind of think about how really it's hard to know what we don't have. And so something I do personally is I meet with a mentor every few weeks. Somebody recently I just actually invited into my life. I've always had mentors throughout the years. And this individual kind of came into my life in a way where I got to meet them. I knew right away, I was like, this person, I need them in my life. Because the way they're living out their life and what I've seen, the fruit of their life, because they're not, they're older than me. They've gone through the point to retirement. And I look at them going, I want that. How they're living and how they're pursuing their relationship with God and how they carry out their marriage, I want that. And so we spend this time together over coffee, and I begin to kind of realize that I'm not perfect, which I kind of already knew. My wife will tell you a lot of things. And it's a long list. But what's harder is that I knew a lot of the list, because she told me. But there was a lot of other things that I couldn't see. Because I was blind to it. And I didn't realize that I was missing out on some of the fruit that I could be having in my life. Because it took somebody else to tell me what I was missing. Come on. Sometimes we need somebody to tell us what we're missing. For me and my wife, it's called budget. It's this magical thing that if you don't have one, you don't realize how good you could be in your money, in your finances. And so we've been challenging ourselves to pick up the pace with our financial situation, to get to a place where we really feel strong for our future and the plans and the goals that we have in our marriage. And so this person has really pushed us towards where we need to be. And what I think's hard is that even in that, I still have a lot. If I have to budget my money, I still got money. I don't got nothing. I don't have nothing. One of my experiences when I went to seminary for a year, went to Bible college for 1 year, and we had this opportunity to go to the Dominican Republic. I learned two things going to the Dominican Republic. First of all, when we got to go, was there winter, and it was hot. Second of all, I thought I was going to be in missions in some way or form, and that is not going to be in the Dominican Republic. That's the second thing. I learned those two things. It was great teaching for me. But there was two experiences I had that really opened up my eyes to the truth of what this verse is. One being, we were at a church on a Sunday morning. The church had no windows, had no lights. All it had was chairs and thankfully some fans above it that were moving air, that was hot air. And a bunch of people showed up and the pastor's there with a guitar that I don't know what year it came out of, but it was together. It was in one piece, thankfully. And they had a drummer, a kid who would have been probably about 10, with half or maybe a third of a drum kit that's pieced together. And a speaker that sounded like it was playing music through a trash compactor. And that was church. And we sit down, and we begin to experience what it's like to have church in the Dominican Republic. And there are different churches. The Dominican Republic is really a Christian country. It really, like, you can go up to anybody in the Dominican Republic and offer prayer, and they'll take it. And they will meaningfully, emotionally take it. And it's fascinating. It's a really great experience. But what was interesting in this story is that at the end of the service, they gave all the students that had come from Canada some Coke, which I'm going to tell you right now, the Dominican Republic has real Coke. It's the good Coca-Cola. It's the good stuff. And they gave us crackers. And I talked to the translator, and he began to share with me how that was them giving everything they had. And I was thinking about growing up, being a pastor's kid, going, well, this isn't the potlucks I remember. The potlucks usually consisted of whatever somebody could come up with, whether it was from the grocery store or whatever, and we'd have plenty. And it was more than just pop and cookies. And I realized how much they were showing honor to us just having visited them. The other one that really had deep meaning for me personally was we went to a prayer night. I would say it was like a prayer night or a small group. And we go to this house. And we had kind of experienced a lot of different situations. We had seen it where, you know, houses were built on a river where there's basically garbage heaped up and they've built like a kind of a structure to live in. And then we experienced places where they actually had plumbing, they had everything they needed. And then we'd also experienced this one other experience, which is we kind of went to a rougher area of the town that we were in. And in that town, what we noticed was when we got into this area was that there was a lot more dirt around. It really changed in this area of the town. And we basically got to a house where, if you could imagine a house in our area, it would be like the frame's up and the drywall board is up, and that's it. There's no windows. There's nothing painted. There's nothing special about the house. And we go inside, and inside there's probably about 15 people there. And we began to play worship songs. Then we had learned a few songs in Spanish so that they could understand us, we could understand them, what they're singing. And then they wanted more. And I was like, well, unfortunately, this is where the Spanish lessons ended. Like 3 songs ago, that was it. That's all we covered. And so we began to sing How He Loves Us, which I don't know if you know that song, but that's a song that we began to sing in English. And the translator figured out the song, and people began to realize through the melody of the song what the song was, and they began to sing in Spanish along with us as we sang in English. And in that moment, all I could think of was we're in the middle of a country with people who really don't have anything, and they are smiling more than we are as we're singing, as they're giving their all. And I thought how special that was, because it really opened my eyes to how God really works in people's lives and what He provides. And so we're going to look at 4 things that God provides for us. And I want to start by looking at Revelations chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. For those that don't know, Revelations is kind of, it translates to apocalypse. It's this prophetic book. It's the only prophecy book in the entire New Testament. There's other prophetic books in the Old Testament, but it's the only one in the New Testament. And it really kind of talks about, John has this prophetic word given to him by angels through what Jesus is telling the angels to speak. And Jesus kind of speaks to John as well. And he basically tells John what's to come in the future, what the end times might look like. It kind of gives us an imagery of what it's going to look like, but it's kind of mysterious in the way that it's worded. And there's lots of people who spend lots of time in this book, kind of really using this book to kind of be a catalyst towards why you should get saved. And unfortunately, it kind of misses out on the opportunity of relationship in Jesus and how important that is. And it says here, as there are 7 messages that John is given, that he writes down for 7 different churches across Asia. And the first, one of the messages for the church in Laodicea is, I know your deeds, so I know all the great things you do. I know all the time you spend in your community. I know all the time that you do things for heart. I know all the times where you've decided to give someone that extra little bit of money to help them get through their week. Or maybe you gave a little extra in the offering. I know that you've done all these great things. So good. Good job. Those are great things. But here's the thing. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. That's not good. I think the only thing to compare to that would be like, nobody wants in-between temperature food. That's never a good time. I only like my food hot. That's how I like it. Unless it's pizza, day 2, cold pizza's good. But in between, because I wish you were either one of other. He's saying, I want you to choose which one you are, because you are 2 in the middle. You are way 2 in the middle. So because you are lukewarm, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth of your mouth, because you say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. And this is the key to this whole verse right here. But you do not realize what your wretched, pitiful, poor, and that you're blind and naked. He's basically saying, hey, you don't realize where you're really at. You don't realize the opportunity that you really have because you don't realize where you're at in your life. I can't use you here. You're too in the middle. You haven't chosen which direction you're going. And that's why we need to know what God provides for us. So the first one, without Jesus, I pay for my own sins. Without Jesus in my life, sin still has to get paid for. It's unfortunately the truth, and there's people that we meet every single day, that I meet every single day, that don't have their sins paid for. Because we can carry a mentality that is, if I go to church and I serve and I say I'm sorry and I ask for forgiveness, that is truly what's paying my sin. No, if we just heard a moment ago in Revelations, deeds don't cover it. Because they're just lukewarm, they're great, they show faith, but they don't cover your sin. And sometimes we get in this mindset, it's like, if I just go to church, I feel this pressure, I just need to be at church. I've got pressure. It's called being a pastor's kid all my life, like I mentioned. I got pressure. My wife will tell you that I hate missing church. Like, it's not because I was a former pastor, it's because I feel the pressure of, that is home for me. And if I don't show up, someone's going to notice. If I don't show up, I feel weird. It's just part of my life. That's a real feeling I have. But that's not what's going to get me saved. Because ultimately, the only acceptance of the payment for sin is death. And all of us know we're going to die someday. So all of us are going to pay for the sin of death by going to one of two places. Which is, we're either going to accept Jesus, we're either going to choose to follow him, to say, you know, I believe in what he's done for me, or I'm going to say, no, I heard it all, and I showed up to church with my family, I know how it goes. I've seen it before where the mother or the father just shows up to church going, I'm just going to be here because I have to be here, just because my family needs me to be here. Or, you know, I'm just going to show up to church. But really, the acceptance of pain, and the payment of it is death. Romans 3, verses 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6, verses 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, Christ Jesus our Lord. And the because, so that we got without Jesus and because of Jesus, this is the one we could stand on here this morning if you believe in Jesus this morning. I have a free gift, salvation, forgiveness, and eternal life. In Ephesians, it says, as for you, we're dead in your transgressions and sin in which you used to live when you were fond of the ways of the world and all who also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. Come on, who believes that? Rich in mercy. Are you here this morning? We are rich in mercy because of him, because he is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that we have been saved. The second one, without Jesus, I can only cope through my pain and my personhood. And the way I think about this the most is that we have a lot of self-help books in our lives that are available to us on the books, at the stores, the shelves. And we can really live, especially in the culture that we're currently residing in, with mental health awareness and everything that's come with that, which has been really good. I'm not discounting mental health. It's really important to be mentally healthy. There's real depression, there's real anxiety. But I believe that Jesus can conquer all because of what he did. Come on. And so we can really get stuck as this is just who I am. I was born this way. I was made this way. So I'm just going to choose to be this way. I know there's great beatitudes, but my attitude doesn't look like that, but I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it because I'm just this way. But In Jeremiah 6, verses 14, the offer superficient treatment for my people's mortal wounds. They give assurance of peace when there is no peace. Because of Jesus, I have the power to be healed and transformed. Oh, we should have been more excited about that, people. Come on. That's the truth. And if you're not excited now, I want to let you know that is so true that I have a story to share with you. You see, I had an amazing encounter the Friday morning. I got permission, by the way, just before everything, because we're live streaming, and I'm sure people are watching that know me. But I had permission to share this story. But on Friday morning, on May 31st, the morning before HomeCon began, I was at my desk. At my job, I'm a team leader. I oversee a bunch of people who are amazing people. They are fantastic. I'm super blessed by them. And one of those individuals came up to me and said, "Hey, I heard you're all about Jesus." I've never told this person anything about Jesus. They just said, "I heard you're all about Jesus." And I said, "Yeah, I began to kind of go through, like, here's my history of knowing Jesus. Like, here's it. This makes me official. I don't know if it does or not, but here it is. I know Jesus." And he began to share with me about, he's like, I went to AA and they talked about Jesus. And I started watching this show. It's called The Chosen. And I learned about Jesus. And now I have a Bible app on my phone, and it gives me a verse a day. And I've read different things. I've gone through different religions. I've looked at it all, and I realized the only one that makes sense is Jesus. Come on. Jesus, this is a person who works in a warehouse on the floor on a Friday morning, not at church here with worship set up, with a message set up, where they say, "I just want to know Jesus. Come on. I just want to choose Jesus because I see the truth of who he is." And that morning, I began to share the gospel to him because his only experience was going to Catholic church. And I said to him, hey, I just want to know, have you actually decided to live out your life for Jesus? Have you made that decision?" And he said, "I don't even know what that looks like. All I know is I got baptized as a kid." So I walk him through that gospel. And on that warehouse floor, someone was saved that morning. Come on. Like we didn't have it in church. It happened on a warehouse floor at like 8:30 in the morning. This didn't just happen because of me. This happened because Jesus worked in his life through the Holy Spirit, who spoke into this kid's life and said, "I am more than enough than what you're going through in AA. I am more than enough than what you're dealing with in your life right now." And you might be there, and I'm going to tell you that this person learned hope and realized that there was an opportunity. It was more than what they read in pages and more than the self-help books, that it belonged with Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross for him. Can we get an amen? Come on. Because the truth is that we all are vessels. We are all have the opportunity for people to eventually come up to us and say, "I just heard that you know about Jesus. I just want to know what that means." And that's what happened this morning. And so I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you that maybe that without Jesus, that I'm living my life for joys that fade away. That you have the opportunity right where you are to begin a decision-making factor this morning. That you're going to put down some of the things in your life that you thought filled you and recognize that, man, this isn't setting me on a course at all. This isn't setting me in the right path at all. That this really isn't going to fulfill me at all. Because in 1 Peter Chapter 1, verses 3 to 4, "Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Christ Jesus. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Come on. A living hope. And I just think to myself, man, What kind of hope do people need in this world right now that we're living in? A lot more than what they've been sold. A living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance. I love that word. I love the word inheritance when we talk about Jesus. Because there's no cost to inheritance when you receive it. You just get given it. You just get given it freely. It doesn't go into an account that you have to wait years for. It's just given to you. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. So because of Jesus, I can have the joy of living a life that glorifies God and impacts others. You see, this is my Father's glory in John chapter 15, verses 8 to 11. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I have told you this, that my joy will be in you and that your joy may be complete. I want to land here. I've got no time. I'm doing well for time. I got a whole 30 seconds. That's good for me. See, I grew up in Pentecostal church. There was no timer. We just landed where ended, and then there was Sunday night church, and we just kept going after that. You see, I personally struggle with some of this. If I'm being honest with you right now, that's my life currently. I've been at my job now for just over, it's going to be 2 years. And I'm going to tell you, that wasn't my plan for my life, is to be on a warehouse floor. And I often get asked by people who find out what I used to do. They're like, why are you here? What are you doing here? When I was in my interview, they're like, why do you want to work here? Why would you want to be here? Why would you want to choose this? And about a year in, because my real plan was I'm going to go there for a year. I'm going to cut it off and just make a bunch of money. You know, just try to get through some financial needs that we had, having come out of the situation that we were in. And I just thought, you know, I'm just going to stabilize that. And then what I really realized was that my greatest missionary field, the thing that I thought I was called to a long time ago, was right where I landed. And I've had more opportunities to speak what God has given me through me and to people there than I ever have. I didn't get permission for this one, but I don't think he'll care. My annual review this past year landed with prayer with my manager. Like, I've had opportunities that I just look at and say, God, there's no denying where I'm supposed to be right now in my place. And that's humbled me, because I still go through the humanity of my sin and go, oh, I just really want to get back in a church full time. And I remember I actually had spoken to Pastor Roy like I think a week or so, like just before I got to tell him about the salvation that happened on the warehouse floor, where I said to him, like, yeah, you know, I went through a season just like the last few months where, like, I was struggling, I was frustrated, and I just was like, is this really it for me? And I realized in that moment that, like, man, I don't realize how much God really works in people. I've just made it too much about how they just need to come to church all the time, which is a still true statement, because I sold that to that kid. I said, you need a family, because without a family, you're going to starve. You need the word of God, and you need a family. And so I can tell you right now that the truth for you this morning is that I learned I just needed Jesus, not a position. Not a job that was successful. Not infinite money. Nothing that could ever come out of this world that has been promised to me as deemed acceptable and success in this world will it ever fulfill me. And that was hard. That was painful. Because I had really held on to a lot of things in my life that I thought that would fulfill me. And so I made the decision. As we're going to close, I'm going to let the worship team play a song. We're going to stand. That I just needed, I just needed Jesus. I just needed him. And in my desperation of the season that I'm in, I've chosen that I don't care what position I hold. I don't care where I may go. But as long as I sense and as long as I've seen Jesus work in my life, I will stay where I am. And I'm excited. Where I work, I'm excited to be there. I'm excited to see what God's doing. And like one of the areas, you know, like when I came into Cornwall, I really realized what this city has been through. It's been a city where there's a lot of ups and downs. And I really feel like there's a rise coming. I really sensed when I showed up to the warehouse, I really sensed that I was right where I was supposed to be because I began to have those conversations, that conversation where a team member came up to me and said, when I was a team member, so we were both team members at the time, and he said to me, you know what, I just want what you have. I just want what you have. 2 months into my job, I just want what you have. And I looked at and I said, you know what? I know you probably see a great thing because you see that I'm married. You see that I have, you know, a great setup in my house and that I'm good, doing well. But the truth is, the only reason I have peace is not because of what I have, but who I hold on to. Because I chose Jesus and I shared that with him. And I left that with him and said, you know what? The greatest peace of all is having the grace of Jesus over me. Because I know then in my Father's eyes, God's eyes, that I'm made whole and pure. And so I don't have to worry about what job I'm in. I don't have to worry about what pressures I hold because I can hold on to that peace. So this morning, we're gonna let the band play. And I want you to just hold on to. I just want to hold on to. What are you letting yourself not have, let Jesus have? What are you not letting? What are you choosing to be without Jesus in your life? What are you choosing to not allow him to work in? Let's choose Jesus.
And every eye closed, just for a moment of just contemplating, meditating, getting quiet before the Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the people who have emptied themselves of themselves in order to fill themselves with the true riches of heaven, of eternal life, the power of God. And it is a great place to begin our Roots of Character summer series, because it really does have that building block, as Dom said. A choice of, will I be halfway? Will I trust things that I have built, trust things that I've put in place, trust things that I know that I think I can trust. Blessed, the blessing of heaven on those who realize that without Jesus we have nothing. And so, Lord, just in this moment right now, and Holy Spirit, we just ask that as followers of Jesus, we would just make that commitment today to kind of go through that inventory of our lives, our bank accounts, not our physical ones, but being honest about the things that we put into our life to bring joy above the joy that you give, seemingly joy. Where we fill our lives with things hoping for fulfillment when really only you can do that. That when those stressful times and moments come, that we're going to so many other sources and at the last resort come to prayer or come to the place where we go, God, I need you. But Lord, that we would begin in the blessing. Blessed are those who recognize that they have nothing outside of Jesus. And that recognition brings you true riches and joy and strength. And so, Lord, we just do that right now. Just a little personal inventory across this room. And just before we dismiss, I'd like to ask the question. I want to ask the question to those that are in the room, not who have made a decision to receive Jesus' love and forgiveness and eternal life. But you might be here today that you've never done that. You've never invited Jesus to come into your life. And today, as you've heard Dom speak, as the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, that today would be your day to receive eternal life, to receive a relationship with Jesus. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to pray this very simple prayer of invitation. We're all going to pray this together. So just pray this prayer after me. We'll all repeat it. And this is you. You would like to invite Jesus into your life today to forgive your sin. Pray this with me. Dear Jesus,
thank you
that you love me
just as I am.
And that today,
I realize
I need a Savior.
Come into my life.
Forgive my sin.
I receive
your forgiveness.
I receive eternal life.
I receive
a new relationship
with you.
I receive
a full bank account
of eternal life.
And with you,
I have
everything.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, I'd like to invite you to take a next step on the notes that you received. It says, what's your next step? And you can check the box. I prayed for salvation today. And give that to one of our hosts. We'd love to give you a Bible and just have a short conversation with you about the greatest step, the greatest decision that you could ever make. If you're online today and you've made that decision, type it into the chat. I've made a decision for Jesus today. Well, Harvest, enjoy the rest of this great summer day. I don't know if the rain has stopped or not. But go out and enjoy your time with family and friends. We love you so much. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Our ministry team is available at the front. If you'd like prayer today, we would love to stand with you and believe for your miracle.